Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Man calls you out like that.
I'm Poet. Supposed to be president of America. Supposed to be. Calls you out like that as a group. And there's more things going on in this world. That's personal. That's coming from you. I mean, I'm all cool. You know, you give people the benefit of the doubt. But when you come at that angle in that direction, directly at you, nah, man. One brother, you mess with one, you mess with us all. Don't nobody is divided in this. We was in unity. We wanted to stand for something. Just telling you right now, this man's not welcome here in Washington, D.C. He's not. I hope he don't be around when I see him. He's not welcome. I can say that to your face. You're not welcome here.
That's Josh Norman of the Washington Redskins. Liz Clark of the Washington Post had a great piece that she wrote about the weekend. It starts off like this. I just want to read a paragraph of this Liz Clark piece. In the Washington Post today, it says some stood, some kneeled, some remained in the locker room, choosing to speak through their absence from the NFL's pregame ceremonies in which the American flag is displayed and the national anthem sung. She talked about it from London to L.A. Virtually all the NFL players on the sideline of 14 games locked arms with each other in response to President Trump's three-day campaign. By the way, he demanded that team owners fire or suspend players who kneel during the national anthem. I thought this was really interesting. As the Jacksonville Jaguars, Philadelphia Eagles, and Washington Redskins were joined on their sideline by their team owners who stood in unison with the teams, here was a byproduct that maybe the president didn't expect. He galvanized the NFL players. Players and owners who can't agree on things suddenly agreed, hey, we won't shut up. Liz Clark of the Washington Post wrote a great piece about it at thewashingtonpost.com. She joins us now. Liz, nice job. Thanks.
Well, thank you, John, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. What do you think yesterday was really about? Was it about oppression and race and in America that the players didn't like, or was this just the players going, don't tell us what to do?
You know, I think it was... You know, it was kind of across the gamut, and I'm sure there were players who were very focused on, you know, what triggered Kaepernick's initial protest more than a year ago, which was police brutality against minorities and African Americans in particular. So I think for some, that is the galvanizing issue, the issue that still must be addressed and the issue they want to stand for. I know that some players I talked to, you know, have you know, appreciated that point of view. They care about it, but not to the point of taking a game day action. But what President Trump said Friday night and continued through the weekend was just a galvanizing, game-changing moment, I think, for some other players who, you know, in their words, said, if you're calling my brother an SOB, you're calling all of us SOBs. You know, you're disrespecting all 1,500 NFL players, our mothers. You know, that it's just, that was, again, a game changer. So I think there were players who were moved to take part for that reason, you know, feeling very insulted that that was over the line, that was inappropriate. I know there are owners who feel the same, although their comments, their statements also had a range of specificity. Some criticized Trump directly for what he said. Others were just speaking affirmatively of players' right to express their views peaceably.
You've covered stuff like the league, the NFL for a long time. And have you ever seen anything that was so unifying?
No. I mean, and that really is what is so striking. It's not, you know, the most proactive, sport, league, or workforce. You know, there's a lot of things about the NFL that make it hard for players to speak out. You know, their contracts aren't guaranteed, for one thing. Their careers are short. It's like 3 years, and they're out of there. And, you know, drag one body off, drag another body on. And, you know, it just doesn't – it's not a place for great empowerment, you know, with rare exceptions. So to see – I want to say there were 14 games yesterday. Is that right?
That's right.
To see 28 teams in one variation or another stand shoulder to shoulder, as you said, some, you know, with their owner standing alongside, a few others just sitting it out altogether, you know, staying away from the field because they didn't want that awkward thing of some stand, some kneel, some sit. You know, we're going to make our statement together by just sitting this one out. You know, there were variations on the theme, but the theme was we are unified, we stand together. And once you have deeper conversations, yeah, they'll each have a different take on what it is that has moved them to take this action. But certainly what you know, a movement that was quite small in the NFL is now kind of a conflagration because of, you know, the attention and the pointed personal, you know, direct criticism from the president leading up to Sunday.
Our guest is the Washington Post's Liz Clark. She's got a piece on the protests and the mass demonstrations in the NFL yesterday on WashingtonPost.com. You wrote that what makes this particularly notable is that this is a league that demands conformity. I mean, they get fined if their socks aren't right.
And, exactly.
And their careers are so short. How is this different than maybe the NBA or Major League Baseball?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's a great question, and it's a really complex answer, and I may not do the best job, but, you know, it does get to kind of job security. The contracts in the NFL are not guaranteed, and it's very easy for the average fan or average politician to just dismiss them as millionaire whiners. You know, a lot of NFL players are not millionaires on that scale. Many leave the league, you know, with injuries, without insurance. It's just not, they're not remotely financially as set as NBA players or Major League Baseball players whose contracts are guaranteed. And I think, I mean, even from Pee Wee football, you know, the whole culture and really teaching model and way to winning in the NFL, you know, any sport that has that many players on the field, it's very much command and control. You know, you are prized and rewarded for executing your assignment exactly as it's drawn up. You know, it's not a sport that really celebrates spontaneity and freelancing and, you know, let me create a tennis shot you've never seen before and just wow you. It's, you know, it's a deep obedience, authoritative culture. And that's, you know, that's not to say that athletes don't have passionate opinions and issues they care about deeply and they want to speak out. It's just in this context that it we don't see a lot of it. So I think that is why it was striking. It was striking to see teams that, you know, really beat each other up, literally, all kind of adopting a stance, a tableau, you know, that was kind of arresting. It's just not what you typically see.
I see per CBS Sports that the network's week 3 game coverage was up 4% from same week last year. We're going to be doing a lot of this. The numbers, how are fans voting? What's the next thing that you're following when it comes to this story?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, let me just say and take a breath in what we've talked about so far. I do not mean to just gloss over the fact that there were audible boos in the stands, you know, at FedEx Field where the Redskins played the Raiders. There were other stadiums where there were boos. I mean, I've gotten a ton of emails today, not so much directed at me, but actually many were, but just... You know, there's a big segment of NFL fans in the country who perceive this as completely inappropriate and inexcusable. So it's not like this is a big raw players standing together. I mean, that is incredibly notable and arresting, but you know, there are fans who don't go for this. I mean, there was a very interesting kind of confessional from Ben Roethlisberger not an hour ago, who posted on his own website, you know, I slept really horribly last night. I had a sleepless night, and I wish we had handled this differently. And your listeners might want to find that, because it's not for me to, you know, speak for him. But, you know, he's kind of haunted by, I don't know that we handled it the best way. So it's not easy. I don't know how much of this form of protest we're going to continue to see. I don't know if it's going to be a part of broadcast in the future. I don't know where it will go. And you never know where the president will take this. Will he move on to another hot button, very emotionally inflammatory issue that's in a different sport or on a whole different, you know, topic altogether, or is this something he's going to hammer home every Sunday? So I'm trying to watch all of that, and I don't see any sign of teams lashing out at players. There seem to be support for your right to peaceably protest.
All right.
But it's fairly shocking.
Liz, I really appreciate your time and you joining us. I encourage people to read this piece on WashingtonPost.com. Thank you, Liz.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
There she is from the Washington Post. So she raises the question, you know, she doesn't know what's going to happen from here. Will President Trump apologize? Will he dig in? Will the NFL team stop playing the anthem before games at stadiums? Will players decide, hey, none of us are coming out anytime for the anthem? What should happen next?
I want you all to listen up. This is important stuff, all right?
Okay. Here we go.
The bald-faced truth.
Call 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750 or text to 64636.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
This portion of the Bald-Faced Truth is brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. Need a machinery job done right? Call High Caliber today.
This show moves fast. I love doing this show. I love that it's 3 hours in length. It's the right amount. It's going to leave you wanting more at the end. And that's the question I have at the top of this hour. Do you want more discussion about what happened in the NFL yesterday, or do you want to turn the discussion back towards sports? For those of you out there who are yelling, stick to sports, I want sports, I come here for sports, the NFL's made that difficult today. Steph Curry has made that difficult in his little spat with the president. LeBron is making that difficult. And Ben Roethlisberger, as our guest in the last segment had pointed out, has issued a statement in which he says that the anthem is no place and time for a protest. He lost sleep over what the Pittsburgh Steelers did yesterday. The audience is very divided over whether or not people should be protesting. I'm divided over whether or not the anthem should even be played at a sporting event. While I will advocate for free speech, I mean, for crying out loud, my job is rooted in free speech. I'm paid for commentary in the Oregonian. I'm paid for commentary at KGW. I'm paid for commentary here. It's all opinion. I'd be the last guy who says, hey, it's not within their right. I'm biased that way. Like, the Constitution and the freedom of expression, and we all have a right to our opinion. Of course, this guy is going to be in favor of that. This guy makes a living on that. I don't hold a jackhammer for a living. I work 7 days a week, and people always say to me, You're on all the time. You work every day. But I look at him and I'm like, as I drove to work today, I drive by hardworking blue-collar people who are out getting calluses on their hands, working their backsides off every day to feed their families. They aren't heard a lot of times. And where I'm going with this is, like, people keep making an idea or an example over the fact that the NFL players are making high incomes. As if, like Newt Gingrich said, these players need a therapist if they feel oppressed. I don't think that's it. And I hate to make it about, like, politicians being out of touch, but Newt, I don't think that the NFL, the random NFL player, feels financially oppressed. Or oppressed by the system that granted them the life that they have in the NFL. I think what the NFL player has been subject to, and in some cases, the African-American NFL player, even if they have money, still feels that this country's got work to do because they can still feel the culture of America at work. And in a lot of cases, it's working against them, even if they have money. See, everybody wants to make it about, well, you're doing all right. Why would you be complaining? And I get that. Like, at knee-jerk, that's my reaction, too. Like, Colin Kaepernick had a great life in the NFL. How could he be against America? But what I see Colin Kaepernick doing and talking about and thinking and saying is I see Colin Kaepernick interested in what's going on in the rest of America. And look, man, that's why I open the phone lines here, and I don't care what your political affiliation is. I don't care if you lean right or left. I don't care if you're a football lover or if you are a soccer lover or if you love Major League Baseball, basketball. If you've got an opinion, I'll give you the platform. Now, if you say something dumb, I'm going to call you on it. But I'm never going to have somebody call in, and it's happened during the show, who says, hey, these guys don't have the right to protest. That's a discussion we can have. But I'm never, if somebody's going to go, you know what, I don't believe that it's the right time or place, or I disagree even with their stance on the protest, I want to hear more. Tell me more about that. And maybe that's just me because I work in the industry that I work in. And people are saying it's the liberal sports media perpetuating the protest. It's the liberal sports media giving it all the attention. No, you have to think about it. Media at its core is rooted in the principle in the Constitution that says, you know, hey, we've all got a right for our opinion. That's what makes it America. That's why it's not North Korea. Okay, nobody's getting jailed for saying America's got problems. Nobody's going to get jailed for saying, man, I disagree with the president. He's an idiot. Nobody's going to prison for that. So, of course, it's being perpetuated by media. Of course it is, because media believe deeply and strongly in the right of expression. And I brought it up earlier in the show. You know, I don't think anybody's turning off the NFL. I think if you're turning off the NFL because of the protesting, you are already probably turning off the NFL, and I think you're just grandstanding. I don't think anybody out there is so turned off by the idea of somebody sitting, they're kneeling, or not coming out for the anthem, that they're going to go, I'm not going to watch the NFL. I kind of think that you weren't watching the NFL anyway. But I do believe that Sunday was rooted more in the idea that the president told a very galvanized workforce to shut up and dance. And I think they all went, oh, yeah, we don't have to do that. 503-417-7575. Take this show where you want it to go. You want to talk sports? Let's talk sports. You want to talk politics? We'll talk it. You want to talk about the anthem, the protest? We'll talk it. You are in control of this segment of radio. I had there, you know, in this show, there are 12 segments. Okay? There are 12 segments of radio. I get the other 11. You get this one. 503-417-7575. What do we want to talk about? Pat in Vancouver, where do you want to go?
I want to talk about the stance and the racial tension that's going on, John. And I just want to say I grew up in Northeast Portland in the 70s. I was around in the race riots as a young kid by Alberta when the theater was burnt down. I've had many black friends. I've had many black enemies. And I'm going to give you an example. I get frustrated with this whole situation by the players, by the whole climate of it. Because America is the land of opportunity, and it's what you make of it. And I'm going to give you an example that I had Saturday at the Nike store, Martin Luther King. I was in there shopping with my wife, bought a pair of basketball shoes, and this young black man, not African-American, which muddled up all the time, they prefer black man. He helped us because they had a portable cashier station. I asked him what was going on. Very polite, very in tune with everything. I go, well, what are you doing after Nike? He goes, oh, I'm getting my marketing degree, and I'm moving on, and, you know, hopefully I'm going to have, you know, find a place, have a good job. Spoke eloquently. I am not buying this. I understand people are a product of their environment. Me, you, them, Hispanics, whoever. A lot of this is created by the environment in which they're raised, not the opportunity that's out there. And this is so getting so muddled that it's depressing for everybody to always try and voice their opinion, and somebody's got to be right. The best thing that ever happened was the Pittsburgh Steelers and the other teams that didn't come out because they didn't give Trump what he wants, which is a reaction. And shame on the people that haven't understood that yet, because that's all he wants.
I'm not sure that he wanted that reaction, nor did he expect the NFL to be so galvanized. I think he expected they'd be more split. The NFL looked very galvanized. There was unification in the message that, hey, it's not okay, we're not following the rules. I think President Trump was speaking in Alabama and expected that he was just giving his supporters what they wanted to hear. And I don't think he thought much. And like a lot of what he says, look, he occasionally comes up with some sound logic or a position where I go, you know, he's not off on that. But it's the packaging around it that is always tone deaf. That's where I think he runs into problems. His personality. Steve's in Happy Valley. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thanks. My thought is sports has always been my refuge from politics. There's politics absolutely everywhere. And I think that's what absolutely drives me nuts about this. So what I've been doing is I skip the first quarter, and if they start talking about it or keep banging on that drum too much, I just change the channel. I get it everywhere else. I don't need it in my sports.
Yeah. But
I also think that, I mean, when they don the uniform, they are branding the NFL. And it's all right. Really the NFL's call what they do.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Steve, here's where I disagree, though. I mean, I don't know what you do for a living, but, you know, if people tell me, hey, I don't come to you to get everything else, I'm like, okay, so I'm only allowed to talk about sports? Like, there's a person in that uniform. You get that, right?
Yes, but and they can, outside of the playing field, they can talk as much as they want, and whether it's
yeah, but you didn't say that to Jesse Owens in the Olympics in Berlin. You didn't say it to Jackie Robinson. You didn't say it to Muhammad Ali. Why now?
Well, there is a difference, first of all, with, like, Jesse Owens. Well, forgive me on my history, but he was not in your face about what he broke through. He was very humble about it. Same thing with Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson knew that how he behaved would lay the groundwork for how the rest of any integration would happen.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I understand that. I understand people's frustration with it, but what I'm hearing is, I just want you to shut up and dance. I don't want you to have anything else to offer me, and I disagree with that. There is a person in those uniforms. I have full phone lines, but we'll take more of your calls, but there is a person in the uniform. There is a person that owns the team. There is a person that is the head coach. It's not just about football. This radio show is not just about sports. I've got three daughters. I've got a wife. I've got friends. I've got a family. I have interests outside of sports. Guess what? Sports is probably 10% of what I want to talk about when I come in here. 90% of me is not sports. My neighbors knock on the door. I got to knock one day. What are you watching? I said, HGTV. Why? He's like, it's Saturday. There's so many games on. I want to know what I'm supposed to be watching. I figured you could tell me. I'm not just a robot that's just going to talk about sports. The players are not just there to dance for you. I'm interested in other things. I'm interested in my back lawn. I'm interested in cars. I'm interested in politics. I'm interested in food. I love the home improvement shows. I'm sorry to burst the bubble, but I've got interests outside of sports. More of your phone calls next.
We interrupt this podcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.